The Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Good evening and welcome to Desert Island Discs. I'm Flavia, and this Sunday I have the chief executive of Research World International, which is one of the leading research companies in East and Central Africa. He's a public policy analyst with a specialization in labor economics, public economics, and the economics of education. In fact, he's a distinguished researcher and academician, Dr. Patrick Wakida. Dr. Wakida, like all my guests, the first question, or, well, where the story starts, I say, go into your childhood, throw us there, and let us start your story from there.
I was born in Chibok District. Then it was called Palisa District. My father was a Gombola chief, but also head teacher primary school. My mother is not highly educated. She's a P6 graduate. On my mother, we are 7. Mm-hmm. On my father, we're 21.
Ooh.
And in total, we have 6 girls.
The rest are boys.
The rest are boys.
That must have been a very loud, chatty, playful home, or?
It was actually fun growing up in that kind of family, because you had people to play with.
Yeah.
You had a wider family to share food with and to compete at every level, even on a dining space.
Oh.
Competed.
You snooze, you lose.
Yes. Now, my first early education was quite challenging, really. Mm. I went to this school, Dodoy Primary School, 8 kilometers away from home, and we had to walk every day. After primary 3, I was bullied by one of my colleagues in the school. Mm. So we were on assembly one day, and this guy decides to come and tie a stone on my shirt.
Oh.
And when the headmaster said, "Okay, everybody, see you next Monday," I stood up and it pulled down my pants.
Oh my God.
I was so embarrassed. So I couldn't go back.
You can't recover from that one.
I went to another school, and I remember again in that school, I was bullied by the teacher on an assembly. Mm. So she was looking at people who are checking hygiene, the nails, and my nails had sap because I'd peeled.
That morning before going to school.
Yes, I'd peeled my token, and the sap was there. Mm. I got embarrassed. Again, I left that school.
Had the teacher actually gotten to you, or you just told yourself this might not come out well?
No, she came and picked me and took me in front and said, this guy is
dirty.
Yes, dirty. Mm. So I was embarrassed.
Oh, no.
And I learned from that I was taken to Namirembe Boarding Primary School, where I completed my primary 7, and then I joined in Nkoma Secondary School in Mbale.
You were saying something about you learned that. Did you learn
what something? I learned basically is that even children get embarrassed. Mm. Most people think that as a child you don't get embarrassed.
You laugh about things and go.
I also learned that those activities that happen in school actually cause school dropouts of children. And I can tell you, in the school that I'm running, the Stonebridge School, it's forbidden even for a teacher to bully a child or a child to bully another one. Mm. Because I learned from that.
These things are deeply rooted, you know, they stick with a child.
And yeah,
And I mean, by the time someone chooses to leave a school.
You want to imagine, I'm talking about when I was about 7 years.
Imagine that.
I still remember.
Yeah.
I'm 48 years old.
And the memory is still.
It's still as fresh as it was.
Imagine.
Yeah.
And also, I think I've learned from being a mom that this is the time when people are forming how their social behavior will be,
absolutely,
how they relate to other people. So things like that would easily traumatize a child.
I was traumatized.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no.
We navigated through life. Mm. It wasn't very easy. You know, as I grew to about P7, my father retires. Mm. And therefore, getting school fees was complicated.
Yeah.
One day, daddy tells us that now you have to wake up very early, go to the garden. Each one had piece of space where you have to complete before you go to school.
Wow.
You want to imagine you're still young, but you have to do that kind of labor. And we learned how to work from that time. Mm. So after primary 7, I went to Mbale. My home from Kadama is about 30 kilometers to Mbale town.
Okay. And you're a teenager at this point.
Yet you're going in S1. And I remember one of the memory that is there is that I rode a bicycle from home to the school. And that road, Mbale Tirin Road, was under construction. So I was very dirty by the time I reached the school.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. This was a very fierce head teacher. It was called Mr. Bumba Ahmed. So when I reached, the secretary asked me, what do you want? I said, I want to see the head teacher. Mm-hmm. He looked me in the eyes and he said, you're very dirty. As she was asking, the head teacher comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what do you want? I said, I want to be admitted.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at my result slip. I'd gotten 16. And he said, this is not a school for dirty people.
Ooh.
They were having an assembly.
Yeah.
He goes to the assembly and he said, there is the other guy that he also wants to study here. I can tell you, I was admitted by the children on assembly for my senior one.
Interesting.
The children said, yes, you should study here. So I start my senior one all through that.
Yeah, they gave their stamp of approval.
Yes, under very difficult circumstances, of course.
Mm.
We go through, and one of the things I remember about my academic journey is that one.
Mm.
I also remember where my brother now had put us where to stay. Remember, Uncle Mercedes was at the school.
Mm.
So my cousin is saying, you stay here with your friend who was in senior three,
mm-hmm.
and I was in senior one.
Oh,
that would imply for us, yes, that would imply for us, we go in the afternoon, the other guy goes, in, you know, those days, that's how the school was structured, that those in senior three, senior four
mm-hmm.
would go in the morning, then, you know, lower grade would go in the afternoon. One day I come back from school and everything is stolen.
In the house?
In the house. And they had stolen my things and they had also stolen my friend's things.
Mm. But what are these things we're talking about? It's like a bed.
You know, we had beds, we had our shigiris and saucepans we were using to cook, and the few clothes and the mattresses had been taken. So I left, I went back to the village.
But just to make it clear, this is an S1, S2 student.
I was actually in, that's my S2 third term.
I'm imagining what an average S2 is dealing with, you
it
know?
It was so complicated.
Mm.
At the time, there were chances of me dropping out of school. I've just told you my father had retired.
Yes.
He had therefore given
me... So if it was hard before, it was definitely hard.
Too hard at the time.
Oh, no. If we can, let's hear your first song choice.
My first... it's a love song made J. Bling.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that song because... I one time listened to it and it had a meaning.
Okay.
Be Without You.
Ah, yes.
Be Without
Mary
You.
Mary J. Blige or Neo, Be Without
yeah,
You.
Yes.
Good stuff.
It's my first song.
Baby, yeah. I got a question for ya. See, I already know the answer. I'ma always stay. This ain't for you.
No, this ain't for you.
And if you got it deep in your heart, and deep down you know that it's true.
Come on.
Well, let me see you put your hands up.
Hands up. Fellas, tell your lady she's the one.
Fellas, tell your lady she's the one.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. My guest today is the executive or chief executive of Research World International. I'm not quite sure whether to, you're not really a headmaster or head teacher. You're not a principal. You're a director at Stone Ridge
School.
You're saying so far you've just started. Is it a year now?
We started this school on 14th of February.
This year. Oh, wow. Months in, but doing well.
We already clouded ourselves to about 428 children.
Good stuff. And before the break, you were talking to us about how tough it got for your academics. And I don't think it was not because you were not an excellent student. The circumstances around you, I think, overpowered you. Because you said S4, you really did not do well at all.
There was no way I was going to do it well. Mm. And in fact, when results came back, my father tells me, you didn't do well. And I said, okay, I know that. I'm supposed to be repeating. There were some grades, credits and some passes. He now has some money. They had paid Busulu.
Mm.
People were using his land and he's taking me back to you know, my school.
Mm.
And the head teacher looks at this result and said, you have a combination. And I said, which combination?
Mm-hmm.
He said, we've given you head. And that's how I get back.
Mm.
To Nkoma Secondary School in Mbale.
The town life
now starts.
And but now you were grown. You were a different person.
Well, I think I was the age of 16 and a half.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was it any different from what you had left before?
No. First of all, I loved the school.
Okay.
So I'm going back to school that I love.
Mm. You genuinely want to
be
here.
And I can tell you, I am now in S5. Everybody's... The head teachers, they have announced for a head prefect, and they are saying it's for senior five now.
Mm.
You must declare your interest and become a head boy.
You were very sociable.
Yes, and I said I am not, I want to focus on studying.
Okay.
And he told me, I am waiting for your application. If you don't, we are going to eliminate you from this school.
Oh, wow.
And my friends, Honorable Ekanya, who were in the same class, told me, you know, Bumba is tough. If you don't do, he's going to fire you.
What was it about you, though, Dr. Wakida, that made it important for you and
well,
as a must for you to
well,
be a leader?
The children seemed to respect me.
Okay.
Two, I had disagreed with the head teacher on assembly.
We like rebels.
Yes, and I, you know, this was a bully head teacher who used to frog jump children. So one time when we were having an assembly, I asked a question. What would the head teacher be doing in the compound under the mango tree when there is an office for which we pay?
Mm-mm-mm.
And then I told him, by you staying there, you scare us. You scare the teachers and everybody scared.
Okay.
So the children were...
Because you stood up, you were able to do what they weren't afraid to do.
I've always questioned things.
Mm.
So elections come... Ekanya competed with me. There were other guys. I could see their line because we used to line up. I could see where their line stopped.
Yes.
I couldn't see where my line. And then the deputy head teacher was called. Mrs. Engoro comes to me and say, you have become the head boy of this school. And I can tell you, in the town of Mbale, and those who are hearing me know this, if I walked with you in Mbale, the guys who sell newspapers... the guys who repair watches, who are still there, still remember me as head boy. They don't call me by name. Mm. They say, "Mr. Head Boy, where have you been?" Because I was one of those head boys. That
Halombale.
Yes. So there is a lot of memory around that.
Yeah. So your reign was good.
Yes. I did very well.
Wow.
We did our senior six. The year was 1994, and I was able to get two A's, one A in economics. Mm. The economics you hear me talk was given to me by our teachers. We had two very, very good teachers, Mr. Edom Michael and Okomu Amuba. Everybody who listened to those guys learned economics.
Wow.
So I got an economics A. I got history A, and I got an E in the divinity.
Oh dear.
And I was able to go to university. My first bachelor's was Bachelor of Arts, Economics and History at Islamic University. And throughout the 3 years when I was there, I did not feel I was in the university, to the point that the year I finished in 1997, the following year, I got a scholarship. And I left the country to go and do another course.
When you say you didn't feel like you were in the university, it was an easy time?
No, I had assumed that a university is a place where children have got no head prefect, there is no rules, head girls.
Yes, I know what you
mean. So then I go in this university and it's...
Islamic University is a different ballgame.
It was an extension.
Of school. Probably tougher.
Of high school, yes.
Yeah.
I remember being taken to the disciplinary committee for coming back late. as soon as I left, I got a scholarship to go to Patrice Lumumba. Patrice Lumumba in Moscow, close to 2.5 years.
Studying?
Yes. I did the first language, you call it the language year.
Mm. Oh, yes, to acclimatize.
Then I started doing my course. And along the way, I was able to complete that. As I'm completing, I got a scholarship to go to School of Oriental and African Studies in the middle of London.
I guess I would say what changed. It's almost like you had a shift, you know. Yes. And this must even have happened like even around S4 or younger.
Actually, senior 5.
Senior 5.
The transformation about me. Mm. And I keep telling people nobody knows me. Because at that time, I was able to redefine what exactly I wanted to achieve.
That's what it sounds like.
And I started pushing for it.
Can you put your finger on what the moment was or what is in you?
The moment was when my brother, I have an elder brother who is a Catholic priest. Mm. Before, he used to come home with a car and we felt like, yes.
Cool. Some money.
Some money. And he could put us on the pickup and drive us around. Mm. And one day he wakes up and said, "This is mine." Then he said another thing. "If you are using my things, it should work for yours." He reminded us that actually we were poor.
He was wealthy. You were poor. He was rich. You were poor. Yeah.
He even told us that if I died, they will never bury me in this home. Mm. I'll be buried in the church. So it occurred to us that we are actually poor, and how do we drive ourselves out of that?
What's your second song choice, Dr. Kiddush?
My second choice is Michael Anstrock. Mm. "Take Me to Your Heart."
Hiding from the rain and snow, trying to forget, but I won't let go. Looking at a crowded street, listening to my own heartbeat. So many people all around the world, tell me, where do I find someone like you, girl? Take me to your heart, take me to your soul. Give me your hand before I'm old. Show me what lovers haven't got a clue. Show me that wonders can be true. They say nothing lasts forever. We're only here today. Lovers now or never, bring me far away. Take me to your heart, take me to your soul. Give me your hand and hold me. Show me what love is, be my guiding star. It's easy, take me to your heart. the moon through a clear blue sky. I should go and see some friends, but they don't really comprehend. I don't need too much talking without saying anything. All I need is someone who makes me wanna sing. Take me to your heart, take me to your soul. Give me your hand before I'm old. Show me what love is, haven't got a clue. Show me that wonders can be true. They say nothing lasts forever. We're only here today. Love is now or never. Bring me far away. Take me to your heart, take me to your soul. Give me your hand and hold me. Show me what love is, be my guiding star. It's easy. Take me to your heart. Take me to your heart, take me to your soul. Give me your hand and hold me. Show me what love is, be my guiding star. It's easy.
Desert Island Discs on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. We just listened to Michael Lance to Rock, a second song choice of yours, Dr. Okida. You seem to like mellow, calm music.
Yes. It's a good feeling.
Yes, good feeling music. Yes. That's good. So you knocked a few things out of you know, your dream park. You had promised yourself with the transformation you'd amount to something.
Yeah,
right.
I was aware of my strength.
And the strength was?
I can tell you, in 1996, I was the student leader at my school. And I remember the late Wapakawolo sitting on my bed. As soon as he left, the former Chief Justice, Jaffes Masika, also sat on the same bed. And you know, my bed was the chairs and it was the bed at the same time. It was a room. They were all courting me to support them. It was a high competition, political competition. I think the highest that Mbale City has ever experienced. So I knew that, yes, I can drive stuff. So when I am in London at School of Oriental and African Studies, they asked me to redo my bachelor's.
Okay.
They gave me 120 credits out of my qualifications from Uganda. That means I needed 240 credits.
To catch up.
And I was able, therefore, to do that. I finished and immediately started a master's program for 1 year. And then I got a scholarship to go to Warwick University, where I went to do an MPhil. After the MPhil, I completed a PhD in social policy. Graduated in 2006.
Of course, social policy.
and I am happy that I've been able to drive both theory and practice. After 2004, I started thinking about home.
Yeah.
I was now in Europe. I'm thinking about I must go home. So immediately 2005, around September, I handed in my thesis. Before even they had examined me, I met the likes of Winnie Byanyima and Muntu, Honorable Ruzindana in London. They were working on the party platform of FDC.
Right.
And after meeting them, I stayed working on those documents.
So at this point, were you interested or had you any affiliation to the politics back home?
Yeah, I've always been really affiliated to UPC. My first stop was Najana Nkumbi. My first appointment.
Yes.
The first people I met when I came was Anne Mugisha, Betty Kamia, Al Salasso, and Musumba.
Yeah.
Then I met Ruzindana. And they told me, we are glad that you're back. We want you to be a political assistant to Kizza Besigye.
Okay.
And I'm like, where is he? He said, he's in South Africa. We want to prepare to go and pick him. So they asked me for my passport to get the visa. I haven't even reached home.
You literally made the first stop.
Yes.
There. Okay.
My suitcase and everything. Najana.
Okay.
We went to South Africa. I came back with Kizza Besigye. And it's one of the days when we came back that I thought Kizza Besigye was the most loved Ugandan. That's how, again, I find myself in the FDC's infrastructure. And after 2006 election, I felt, of course, broken down, and I decided to go back to Europe. I came back early 2007, started working with Pathfinder International. I worked for 1 year in the north, and I said, I don't want to work for anybody. And I can't tell you, I have never
looked
for a job.
How would I define that thing about Dr. Wakida, even with your affiliation with the FDC, even with your standing up to what you regard as the truth? Just how would I define that? Because, you see, I couldn't be a politician, because once the politics went a certain way, you didn't stay there. I wouldn't say, how would I define that? Even in hindsight, now that you've...
You know, even myself, I've asked myself.
Yeah.
I remember my mother asking me, what is it that you look for in politics? And I said, normally I get intrigued when politicians lie. And I want to prove to them that they are liars.
Okay.
After my PhD, I defined myself this way. That whatever I present, whatever I share, must be based on facts.
And does that mean, because it's what you hold yourself accountable to, you hold everyone else accountable
you
to?
You expect, one of the things that why you see me so close to Muntu, by the way, he's my friend.
Has anybody mentioned a likeness?
Yes, a number of people. In fact,
I know this is radio and you might not be able to see Dr. Wakida, but there's a real stark similarity.
I like him because of his values. And he presents those values and you see them. I visited Muntu's house. I never found a TV. I never found a radio. I asked him, what is this? And he said, you see, there is a lot of lies that come with some of this media information. So I encouraged him. I said, no, for purposes of understanding what is happening there, you should have a TV in the house. But even with that TV, it is timed. When do I watch TV? I found myself with some concepts I did not understand.
Okay.
And in 2018, I registered to do a political science 3-1-1 bachelor's. And I finished it last year in June.
What did you learn that, you know, helped you understand what you didn't know or what you were questioning
before?
There
are new concepts in politics that people misuse. And I wanted to understand them. I got myself the 6th degree last year. So I have said, rather than spending all these billions of shillings that we give to Electoral Commission, let's focus on electing our LOCs and leave some of these positions. Look at your parliament, for example. In a country of about 25 million adults, you are having over 540 members of parliament. Parliament is a space for debate. A debate must be given time to express your point. If you are going to use 3 minutes, 3 seconds, when do you articulate an issue? And I have also argued that that parliament, the people who actually are making the national policies, are less than 15 or 20.
Of the 500 plus.
The rest just go there to earn.
Interesting. What's your third song choice, Dr.
My Wakida? Third choice is also Complicated Hearts by Michael Armstrong.
Oh, okay.
Complicated Hearts.
Complicated Hearts.
Yeah.
Don't know what to say now. Don't know where to start. Don't know how to handle a complicated heart. You tell me you are leaving, but I just have to say, before you throw it all away, even if you want to go alone, I will be waiting when you're coming home. If you need someone to ease the pain, you can lean on me. My love will still remain. Quiet.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. You're with me, Flavia. And today's guest is Dr. Patrick Wakida. And he's defined our politics as, well, non-existent, or we don't really know the core of democracy, because that would assume that we have a choice. Yeah. And yet, as this, someone once also mentioned to me, a poor man's choice is always in someone's hands. Yes. You choose what to do for them. Yeah. You've talked about, I mean, you're home. You're still home now, even with what you believe the politics is like.
Well, I can tell you, and I want to thank the people of the Bugwere sub-region. Mm. They have grown to appreciate their children. And I think I'm one of those children.
Wow.
In my village that people believe in. I will determine the LC1. I will determine the LC5. I will determine the members of parliament.
Your bed, which was a chair, which was what still exists. You're still the mind that people come to.
When I came back, with this notion that I want to build a big house. Mm. I put my house, really a reasonable house. Mm. I invite people. One time I wanted to put a gate, and my mother told me, wait a minute, in the village they don't do that. It must be an open space
for
everybody.
It should be, yes.
I have never, in the last 12 years, I've never eaten a meal at home alone. Mm. The minimum is normally 5. People, they come
outside of our home.
And I think it's a good thing. Mm. Simplicity. No matter how far you go, remain simple.
Right.
When I go to my village, I park my car and I walk to those homes and those village paths that we used to pass. It's so good to feel.
Sounds to me like, for lack of a better way to place it, you're a silent power. And by silent, because today we're boggled down by titles and positions.
I don't like titles.
You sound like you are comfortable with the power you wield without that
The covert
title.
Power mm. is very... Many people have told me, why don't you become a
actually go ahead, yeah.
And I've told them, then I can do what? Close to 17 appointments. Mm-hmm. And each of them...
You said no?
I said no. I started thinking of developing a unique skill which I'd gotten from the Center for Primary Health Care at the University of Warwick in the UK. And I said, I am going to do research.
Okay.
And I want to do research as a business, mm-hmm. but also grow people's skills mm-hmm. in research. Mm. So I register Research World International in 2007. I employ currently 48 people directly in that. We are able to do all kind of research mm-hmm. that you want, including governance research.
Right.
Unfortunately, people in this country know me for being a pollster. Mm. They think I do governance and opinion poll.
Yes.
I have never earned any money out of those.
You know, it sounds to me like you still found a way to do what you believe in, which is facts, because that's what data speaks
that
to. Information is that.
And I have always argued with people that if you want to come and dispute what I've produced, you should come with your data.
Mm-hmm.
If you just come with your head and you want to display a conversation, then for you, you are discussing emotions.
Mm-hmm. And you like facts.
Me, I am presenting facts as it is, because 1 + 1 is 2. Research World has grown into such a wonderful business.
Mm.
We've been able, therefore, to grow skills. We are able to do business-to-business work for organization, both here and across. I decided that as I grow older, I want to create a knowledge institution. And that knowledge institution should be a primary school, because the biggest challenge in this country is actually the starting. In 2020, when COVID struck, I decided I'm going to build a school. See the difference?
Yeah.
I was not going to start a school.
You're going to build a school. You mentioned that at the beginning of our interview.
The difference is that as I build a school, I'm looking at what is a school. A school must have a place, space for children, the kind of teachers you have, the kind of teaching you have. And if you worked at the Stone Ridge School and they told you it's running a UNEB curriculum, you will put your hand down. But we are running a UNEB curriculum using the global standards.
Okay.
So I am satisfied with the few things that I am able to do.
Okay. You earlier on told me before we got on that you only have 3 song choices, but we've gotten to that point where I asked for your 4th song choice. What will we do now?
Well, I would ask you to choose for me one of those songs for guys like me.
I will let the producer run this one, so that in case it's not a choice you would prefer, we know who to blame.
Absolutely.
Explain the way you make me feel inside. Though the meaning may be simple and the words may not be new, I couldn't make it clearer if I tried. I need you, and I couldn't live a day without you. I need you more than anyone could ever know. I need you, and I wanna build my world around you. I need you. I need you.
Will I sing the words and realize in it all been said before? So I tried a different line that meant the same, but it didn't have the feeling, and the first one said much more. So I guess I'll have to say it once again.
I need you, and I couldn't live a day without you.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Desert Island Discs, we're in our final part with Dr. Patrick Wakida. I've liked something that you mentioned about the real power. You know how I think sometimes I tell people in this country that the people with the real power are saying nothing.
They say nothing. They are not making noise.
Exactly. Yes. You know, the real things don't.
I have met people, including ministers, who have told me I have more powers than they do.
Interesting. Would you liken simplicity, especially now that you know you've gone through many schools of thought, to humility? Do they have?
You should be humane enough. Look at people and yourself as the same. That for you, you have only been able to move and achieve certain things. That equally, those people can achieve those things.
If given a chance. You have become all these great things. You've done all these great things. But there's people around you who see you differently than, you know, the people who see the power. You've talked about your mom many times.
I can tell you my mother, because my father died in 2002, I was in school. I was in Europe. Mm. So I never buried him, but he was one of my greatest icons. He was my friend.
Wow.
But since then, the person we've interacted with is this old woman who is 60, I think she's 68 now, as we speak. I think she loves us. recently, so I am building a school. And this is a funny story. She knows I have some money. So she comes to visit us, going to greet her. So we are seated and she said, "My son, I remember when I used to carry you." And I'm like, "Okay." And then she said, "You were very sickly then. You used to be very sick when growing up." I said, "Okay." And then she said, "But thank you for building this school. All my grandchildren are going to be there. Maybe I will not contribute to them." And she pulls out $1 million in front of my wife.
Okay.
And I'm like, "What? 1 million shillings?" And okay. She said, "I want to also to put a brick on this project." And they said, "Mothers will never see their children as old as long as they still live."
Because it wasn't about you lacking.
It wasn't.
It was for them as a for her as a mother.
Yes.
She's like, "Mom, be my person."
And I'm talking about 3 months ago.
Kudos, Mama.
So she demonstrated what a mother is.
It's truly,
and
truly.
And I want to ask everybody out there, mothers go through a lot. I think we need to show them love when we grow.
Do you have some children of your own as well?
Yeah, I have children. I have a boast of 5 children now.
Well done.
Of course, men don't count children.
No.
People say
for now. You just add for now.
Yeah,
at
for
the
now.
End.
Yes, 3 girls and 2 boys.
Oh.
Who I adore every day.
Oh, dear.
Yes, they are still little. Remember, having spent a lot of time in school, my eldest child is just 12 years.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
I still have little ones. Because one of the things that our fathers used to tell us is that marriage in itself is a full-time job.
That it is. I agree.
So you marry when
in fact, you don't take your eyes off it.
No, you don't take your eyes.
Yeah.
So he told us, study, finish study.
When you're ready.
Get money. Mm. Once you have it, get a wife. You'll keep them.
And is that the process you followed?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll bet your children are young. When I look at my life and I look at the things that I'm trying to instill in my children, they're really my values.
Yes,
yes, formed by whether it was my mother or my, you know, the people around me, but they become my values. And in my mind, no matter what happens to me, they'll see that my children were this way, were like this.
Mm.
When you look at your life, are you putting down the same values of simplicity, of discipline, of hard work? And because also, you were raised for a certain generation.
Yes.
You're raising your children.
In a different generation.
In a different generation for a different time.
Recently, I opened up to my friends and my wife and children. And I told them I would have probably stayed in Moscow. The respect and the simplicity caught the eyes of CMS, the Church Mission Society in Moscow. And they asked me one day, "We are expecting visitors from London. We have a pastoral work. Can you come and help us to clean our apartment?" These were old guys. So I went, I cleaned, washed their dishes, cleaned the house. When the guests from CMS arrived, the story was about me. So they demanded to meet me. It is through that they were able to give me a scholarship to go to, you know, to a school of Oriental and African Studies, and they organized the whole funding throughout my PhD until when I came back. Being simple, respectful of other people is a very, very critical moment of life. If I'd said, "No, I can't come and watch this," if I'd said, I'm
sure someone has already cringed. Do what?
Yes.
Watch what?
How do I come to wash your house? If I'd said that, all these things I'm talking about, perhaps I would have never achieved them.
True.
But you see, the journey was such that you have to keep doing things that makes you go to the next step.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe all of us have seen simplicity defined in different ways. In different ways, I would assume that there's a lot more in you. Your story hasn't ended.
I have experienced a lot of things, but I think what drives me most is that I keep saying, "You keep going," because you know where you want to go.
So define where you want to go.
Two things I fear in life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The third one is everybody fears. You fear God, isn't it?
Yes.
I fear God. Mm-hmm. But me, I fear God. On top of that, I fear failure. Mm. I don't want to start something and I fail it. So when I start something, I pay all the attention it requires to make sure it works.
Right.
I don't want to start something and I don't complete it. So I fear that. Mm-hmm. And in starting, I will define it that way. Will I complete it? Mm-hmm. How do I complete it?
Right.
I define the time, I define the resources, I define everything that I must be put in. In fact, my friends called me a single processor computer. Because at that point, then I'll be on that one.
Tunnel vision.
Yes. Mm. That's one. The second one that I don't want to experience again is poverty.
Mm.
Poverty takes away everything you have. Every time you go to Flavia and say, "Flavia, you know, I don't have money for lunch.
Give me."
You have lost half of yourself. Every time you don't have what you can give to people, you have no power to influence them. Poverty is the worst enemy that I look in front of me and say, "Hey, my friend, get out of my way." So those two things plus God are my drivers. Don't allow any of those to be in your way.
Notice he didn't say, "I don't like poverty" or "I don't like failure." I hate it.
Hate.
It has to be a strong feeling.
I don't want to think about
near,
it.
Not even near you.
If you start to make a table, make sure the table is complete and people are using it.
Yep.
It drives me that much. And my family has had to get used to it, that if this guy wants to do this, he wants to make sure it's done. If I am building my house, I want it complete.
Because failure is not in your cards.
No, I don't want it at all, because I almost failed, I told you. Remember that time when there was a staggering?
More than once.
Yes, actually. More than once. There was a time when I said, "Let me give up." And then I sit down and say, "So if I'd given up, I go to the village and I meet those guys who gave up.
Yep.
How will I be?" So I want to make sure that things are not that way.
Right.
I don't want to. We live the poverty life. I know how we would.
You have no desire to go back.
I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
You know? And that should be everybody's effort.
To say that there's nothing here for me.
Because you cannot be a child. Mm. You grow up and then you come out a child.
Adult.
So if you know you lived this poverty life, and why do you again...
Don't stay there.
Keep moving. And poverty and not being poor does not mean having a lot of things.
Even in mind.
But having enough for yourself, growing in your mind and say, "Okay, I am not poor." You are able to give something.
I think you've already defined it in saying that you have it. It gives you a chance to make a choice.
Yes.
To have a word.
Yes.
You know, to be able to say yes, no. That's what you mean.
And by the way, I'm very bold. I'll tell it to you. If I don't like something, I'll say that does not work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You like it that way.
But I know what you mean. If someone is feeding you, it's hard to say no to them.
Me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. I'll say, "Mr. This is not work." That's why I keep telling the president. I said, "Mr. President, that is not going to work." You know? And people say, "But why do you tell the head of state like that?" Because that's what I see. That's what I see, that cannot result into something better. And I keep telling that.
I guess if we all were brave enough, we would have a lot more honest people, so that we stop seeing you as the anomaly of why would you say that to a head of state. It becomes normal to then have an opinion as open and honest as possible. I've actually enjoyed this conversation. I like hearing the perspective. Sometimes, you know, it's also, I've noticed from your story that despite the fact that you were more into books, as we'd call it, you know, you studied a lot, and you know,
I've also
sort of defined a life outside of books.
I have defined that.
Can you imagine that? A balance.
Yes, I've been able to define that. Of course, when you're a boy, there are a lot of trials you do. But there must be a time in the life of a person where you stop at a junction and ask yourself, should I take this route? Should I go this route? Should I go this route? Should I go this? And then you ask yourself, if I took that route, what am I going to
do? The consequences for each.
If I went there, what should I have?
Yeah.
So that you define where you go and the end results of your journey.
Yes.
Unfortunately, people move, do things without defining that.
The end in mind.
They keep trials on everything. No, it shouldn't. Life should not be trial. Because God gave us this mind to determine where you want to go.
True.
Of course, there are times when you will go there and you knock, you come back, and then you find another journey. But you must go where you wanted to go first, and you come back and see.
What do we do?
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Patrick Okeda. What's your final song choice? Hoping that you'll have a song in mind this time.
Wow. Please, do me a favor for now and choose for me one.
What era was your favorite? The 90s, the
80s.
90s. The 90s?
Yes.
We'll pick something.
90s when I was a boy.
We'll pick from the 90s because the millennium had a bit more bouncy music. We'll pick the mellow ones that you actually liked so we can wind up the show. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for being open about your story. And
thank
I know
you.
It has helped a lot of people understand what success looks like in its simplicity.
Simply, be simple.
Be simple indeed.
If you went to the school, the parents are asking, in some schools we've never met, their directors here, we are interacting. You say, yes, because I want to live the same life you're living.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Patrick Okeda. That's it for Desert Island Disc. You can get this episode and more on our podcast, Capsule FM Uganda. Good night.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.